Hi again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 500. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. We have both, and if you'd like to know, it's absolutely free of charge, including the postage and handling. If you do have tithe money, it would be very good for you to send it in, because there's hundreds of millions, yea, billions of people that would love to hear the messages that are preached, that the Lord anoints here, and we could use finances. And it's, if you don't have the money, well, you definitely are supposed to give 10%, at least 10% to the Lord, because if you don't, you're robbing God. And he's, you don't want to rob God, because he won't like that. He doesn't like it, and he's not going to like it any better when you stand before the judgment bar of God. I have some Bible reading today. I have a message, and I've got letters and music, Christmas music. But right now, let's go before the Lord, our King of Kings, and ask him to anoint this service. Father, anoint me and everyone on this program. Anoint us. Live in and through us. Open up every heart in radio land that they may receive whatever it is that you give us today, that you anoint us with, that your word comes from you through my mouth and others, that their souls might be saved, that they will be saved. Hopefully they do, Lord. I prayerfully they do. And that the church is strengthened in Jesus' name, I pray. And everyone says, amen.
Amen.
All right, now here's Randy Travis to sing for you, Our King.
About 1,000 years before it came to pass, it was said that it would be. A virgin would be found to be with child and give birth to a king. And they laid him in a manger in the town of Bethlehem, born there in a stable, 'cause there was no room in the inn. And when he grew to be a man, he began to teach. He came just for you and me, and to set the captives free. And he gladly gave his life for us. Without one word he died, so we could live forever in heaven. All he asked to believe. That baby boy in Bethlehem truly was our king.
Was the very pleasant voice and spirit-filled voice of Randy Travis. We're going to play another song by him at the end of the program. The whole world is just filled full of evil, and to hear people sing in the spirit like that, it's just very soothing to me anyway. Hopefully it is to you as well. We have some letters. Where's the first one from?
From Granada Hills, California.
Mm-hmm.
Says, hi, I haven't contacted you in months, but I want to thank you for faithfully sending me Pastor Lamo's CDs. I listen to them first thing in the morning before getting out of bed and last thing at night when I go to bed. It is so comforting to hear the words of our beloved Lord at any time of the day or night. Although today is November the 11th, I replayed Pastor Lamo's CD of over a month ago this morning. It is program number 432, dated August 22nd, 2007. I wish everyone could hear it and be blessed by it. It is Pastor Lamo's teaching and explanation on Jesus' precious blood. Wow, it hit me like lightning. I will be playing it daily until it seeps into my every pore. My reason for writing today is for a friend of mine. She wishes to be put on your mailing list for Pastor Lamo's daily cassettes since she does not have a CD player. I would send her mine, but since she doesn't have a CD player, please send her this cassette, program 432, in addition to the ones you will be starting to send her. Would love to know when Pastor Lamo will be in the Los Angeles area, and I will make every attempt to attend the service. Thank you again, and since I just got my mail, I want to go listen to Pastor Lamo's CDs that were waiting for me in the mailbox. Yours in Christ, Nan from Granada Hills, California.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. Oh, and we have another letter. Which one? Where's this one from?
From Ithaca, India.
Okay.
Dear beloved Brother Tony Lamo, warm greetings from White Wing Ministries in India. Thank you so much for your precious prayers and the anointed literature you have sent to us. Really, they are so valuable and helpful in our daily ministries. Our White Wing volunteers have completely distributed them in regions hungry for the word. Hence, people are requesting for plenty of literature because the Holy Spirit is powerfully working through your material, and people, particularly idolaters, have been repenting and getting baptized. Here in our ministry, we recently have started a round-the-clock prayer tower. All the congregation have been earnestly praying for your anointed global ministries so that God would shower many more spiritual blessings upon the whole world, upon those that really hunger for the living word and for the salvation of the Almighty God. If you are prayerfully interested to give us your kind permission and generous cooperation, we would love to translate your anointed literature into three or four of our vernaculars. I already have sent some of your prominent literature to our government leaders. We started working on constructing a few of your rural church buildings, so may you and the brethren earnestly pray for them. As you know, we are financially weak, but we started this work with great hope in the Lord through free will offerings and donations, and we would like to finish the work within 3 months. Please keep us in your congregational prayers, hoping to hear from you soon. May God richly and immensely bless you and your ministry. Yours in His eternal love, B. Raju from Ithaca, India.
Yeah, I'd just like to announce that anyone that knows, we have our message. I've got the Messiah book, and we're attempting to get all of these messages that the Lord has given me into every language in the world. And anyone that will translate into a language that we don't have, I just praise and thank the Lord for you that you'll do that. Praise the Lord. Because we want to get the gospel to every person, and it takes, a lot of people don't realize that the gospel, to get it around the world, takes money, and that's why God tells people to give tithes and offerings, or else they're robbing God. If you don't send tithes and offerings into us, we cannot do this. This is somebody that is going to do it for free. But it's just amazing that how many millions of dollars it takes to get the gospel out all over the world and to get it into every language. We don't have it in every language yet, maybe about 20 or 25 languages, but there's many, many languages I've never even heard of. So, you know, send in your tithes and offerings, or you're robbing God of souls. And that's what the Lord came into the world to do, is to save sinners. And sinners do get saved when they read these messages. So, you know, God knows that He got you, that He really has gotten into your heart, if He can get into your pocket, if He can get into your deep pocket, some of you. So you don't want to, you know, what if the Lord takes the breath out of your body tonight, this afternoon, this morning, whenever you're listening to the program, and then you've got a bank, your bank account is just loaded full of money. What good will it do? But, you know, when people obey the Lord and they keep all of His commandments, and they want to get the gospel out to everybody, well, then God will bless you. You may have some sort of sickness or disease. But if you hide these words of God in your heart, as David did, he said, "Lord, I hide Your word in my heart," so that he doesn't have to keep a Bible in his hand every minute of the day. He doesn't have to keep, you know, memorize in the mind. We memorize the scriptures, but we tuck them away in our heart, so that we never fail to give our tithes and offerings, especially to a work that is winning as many souls as we do. And so make sure that you do that. If you have love, then you're going to keep God's commandments. 1 John 5:3, and I just can't say this enough, states, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." His commandments are not grievous. If you want to be blessed, then give your tithes and offerings. And I know sometimes when it seems that we are not going to have enough money, I have faith to believe that it'll come in one way or the other, either through us or primarily through us, because we work. And the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. And so, but sometimes it looks a little grim, but I just keep preaching the gospel, and I keep lending the finances out. There's folks that just called up the other day. The woman's got 10 children, and this many others every day. We send out food and so on, and presents for Christmas to people that can't afford them, or people that call us for them. Now, we never look to them. We realize that there isn't anything that they're going to tithe. We don't look to them for a payback. And you shouldn't be worried about that either. You should just give to the Lord as unto the Lord. Well, what if Tony Alamo is everything that these false people in the world are saying that he is? If you give unto the Lord, you say, you know, God would destroy me if I took finances and spent them in a wicked, evil way and didn't give it to the people that are hungry for these CDs and tapes and messages. He would just destroy me. I wouldn't have a ministry anymore. And so just tithe it unto the Lord, and the Lord will give you rewards. If you have a sick loved one and they receive the Lord, first of all, you receive the Lord and pray always. Tuck the word of God into your heart, which says, pray without ceasing. Pray always, always pray. Because if you forget that, then you've forgotten, you just don't have the word of God tucked into your heart. And receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And to give your tithes and offerings, do not rob God. I'm just telling this for your own good. I'll tell you what, if finances don't come in, well, I would just have to cut some of the stations off that we're on, but so far I haven't done that. I've been increasing the stations that we're on, and I just have to trust the Lord for it. But if it happened that we didn't have enough finances to do it, I just pull some of the stations off. And that would be your fault because you don't give tithes and offerings unto the Lord. Okay? We have to have tithes and offerings, folks. All right? So make sure that you obey God. It's for your own good. You know, I'm going to heaven anyway, and God is in heaven. But the goal that we're trying to meet here is that you go to heaven. And really, there's not many people that tithe to us. And it's always that way. There wasn't many people that tithed to Jesus or the Apostle Paul. Peter said, silver and gold, yeah, we don't have any. Have we not? But such as we have, or such as I have, give I unto you. Stand up and walk. Amen?
Yeah.
So that power we have, and they didn't miss meals. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, unless they were fasting and they wanted to. Okay, so I want to, we're going to continue with chapter 5 of Ephesians. Go ahead.
Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church.
Okay, now this is a commandment, and it says if you love the Lord, the love of the Lord, love of God is that you keep his commandments, so you're to love your wife. And what does love mean? It means keeping God's commandments before her. If she does well, tell her that she does. If she doesn't, then you have to reprove her and, in some cases, rebuke her and to edify her with the Word of God. That is a absolute must. And then you must show her the Lord in you, because there wouldn't be any testimony for her to look at you as a testimony. If you're not keeping the Lord's commandments, you're not loving the Lord. So the love of God is that you keep his commandments, and loving your wife is that you keep God's commandments and before her, so she can see that this is a dedicated man of God that she can rely on, that she knows is not going to fall away, and that she knows is going to, that he's loving her all the time, to keep the commandments of God. Okay, now go ahead and continue on, please.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
Okay. He gave himself for the church. He gave himself for your wife. And he tells you now, if when he's living in you, he wants you to obey him. Because to love is to keep God's commandments. You're loving your wife by keeping God's commandments. You're loving your sons and your daughters by keeping the Lord's commandments, because love is the keeping of God's commandments. If they see you, that you're for real. I mean, really for real. You've got the Word of God tucked away in your heart, and you don't forget it because you keep reminding yourself of it on an everyday basis. Now, the first man, Adam, did not accomplish God's purpose. He didn't love his wife. She didn't love him either. Rather, he sinned and fell. Well, how did he sin? If I was going to love my wife and I saw her sinning, if she took a piece of fruit that the Lord told her not to take and she ate it, then she handed it to me, I wouldn't even touch it. I'd tell her to throw it on the ground. And then wait to see what the Lord would do, because that would be loving her. Now, he didn't have faith to believe that God could build him another wife, but because he sinned, all of humanity fell. He not only failed to restore the earth, but he took this piece of fruit from his wife and ate. In other words, he was told that he's the head. They're both equal at the first. Then he told him, God told him that he was the head of the wife. But he was captured by Satan. He was destroyed by Satan. He not only failed to rule the world, as the Lord told him to do, but he was brought into subjection to the power of Satan, to Satan's power. The second chapter of Genesis states that man was made of the dust of the ground. He's made of dust. And Genesis 3 points out that dust was the food of the serpent that God gave dust for the serpent, this satanic, loathsome creature to eat. And this means that the fallen man became the food of Satan. Man could no longer deal with Satan because Satan took power and dominion over him. He was finished. Really? What could be done? Man was totally done. So what could be done? Did this mean that God could never achieve his eternal goal, his eternal purpose, that he could no longer obtain what he was after? Did it mean that he, God, could never restore the earth? No, not at all. He sent his son to do that job. God's son restored us back to where we're supposed to be. What does that mean? He restored us back to love. For this is the love of God. There's no other love in the world. Love is the keeping of God's commandments. For this is the this love, the God love, that is, that we keep his commandments. God love. You got a lot of people preaching that we don't have to keep God's commandments any longer, that the law is over with. And the Lord said the exact opposite of what these fallen creatures are saying. He states that love is the keeping of God's commandments. Amen?
Amen.
That's real love, is God's love in you, keeping commandments so that other people can see the love of God in you, so that you're able to win souls. You will convict people's consciences by keeping the love of God in you. So, did this mean that God could never achieve his eternal purpose, that he could no longer obtain that he was after? Did it mean that he, God, could never restore the earth? No. Not at all. He sent his son to do just that, to become a man. He came in the flesh. God came in the flesh of Jesus. The Lord Jesus is truly God, but he is also truly man. In the whole world, there is at least one man who chose God. A person who can say the ruler of the world is coming, and in me he has nothing. Satan has nothing in me. That's John 14:30. In other words, in the Lord Jesus, there is not a trace of the prince of this world. We must note carefully that the Lord Jesus came to this world not to be God, but to be a man. He became man. God required a man. If God himself dealt with Satan, it would be very easy. Satan would fall in a moment before the feet of God. But God would not do it himself. He wanted man to deal with his enemy, Satan. You know, God could stand up in the clouds of heaven and show himself to be such an enormous God, bigger than the sun and the moon and every galaxy, and shake a rod at everybody here on this earth. And I guarantee you, everybody would fall on their face, just as they will when he comes back to earth. He comes back in the clouds, and every eye will see him. He intended that the creature would deal with the creature. So that means that we're creatures, and the only way that we are able to deal with people around us, or any people in this world, is to have the love of God in us. Because this is the love of God. And if we have love in us, the love of God in us, then we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And people see that, and it convicts their rotten souls. When the Lord Jesus became a man, he suffered temptation as a man and passed through all the experiences of human life, a man. This man conquered. This man was victorious. He ascended to heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus has been crowned with glory and honor. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. He has been glorified. He did not come to receive glory as God, but to obtain glory as a man. I don't mean that he did not have the glory of God, but Hebrews 2 does not refer to the glory which he possessed as God. It refers to Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels because of the suffering of death. Jesus was crowned with glory and honor. Now let's continue reading from the fifth chapter of Ephesians, right?
Okay. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church.
Okay, now, how do you love your wife? Huh? You keep the commandments of the Lord. You seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You show her that you're a man of God because you want her to become more godly. There's no such thing as a woman that is born godly. The Bible says so. Who can find a virtuous woman? A woman becomes virtuous, she becomes whatever she's going to be, if she sees you keeping the commandments of the Lord. She's not going to do anything wrong. And if she does, she would never a virtuous woman, or never will be. Because if she doesn't respond to the love of God in you, that you keep his commandments, then there's no possible way that she's going to ever become a virtuous woman. But you are not to be like Adam, who she's sinning, and then all of a sudden you start following suit. You start doing what she's doing. No, what you do is just continue on. And if she continues on not obeying the Lord or responding to the love of God in you, which is she sees you keeping the commandments, well, then she just falls away. You're not to blame for that, and you can marry again. The Apostle Paul tells us that. If she falls away and doesn't want to serve the Lord and she leaves you, you can remarry, but only to a Christian, and a Christian that responds to the love of God that is in you. Now our Lord ascended as a man. Yeah, that was a man that ascended up into the kingdom of heaven. Truly, he is in the heavens as man. A man is at God's right hand. In the future, there will be many men who will be there, as well as Jesus. Isn't that great?
Amen.
That our God is also man. He's a God man. Therefore, we can call him our brother, and he calls us brethren. Today, a man is sitting on the throne of God. One day, there will be many men sitting on the throne of God. This is absolutely certain. Now, let's continue on.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
Right, even if it means that you just you give yourself entirely to God's commandments. That's what that means. That doesn't mean that you're going to be nailed to a cross. It does mean that you're carrying a cross and you are nailed to the cross, so to speak, but you may never be physically nailed to a cross. But you're nailed to the cross and you are denying yourself. You don't get into the mischief if your wife is mischievous. You don't get into that. You just show her it's all right to have fun with her, but there's always a line that you must draw that you don't go beyond God's commandments, because you always want to love her. That's a commandment, to love your wife. Amen?
Amen.
And if you do that, well, then she'll be a witness for the Lord as well, because she'll see God living in you, and she'll want to be like you. And then she will be like you as long as you continue keeping God's commandments, because keeping love is the keeping of God's commandments. So it's not what everybody thinks love is, sex and filth and degeneracy, because if your wife wants to lead you that way, well, then you don't do it. That would be the same as you doing what Adam did. She's leading you into temptation, and then you go for it. You have to tell her, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And then she'll respect you. You may think she's going to leave you because you're not cool. But don't worry about that, friend. It's better if she leaves you because you're not, in her eyes, cool, than let her leave because you want to demonstrate that the Lord is in you and that you have the power to keep his commandments, because you have the power to love. Love is the keeping of God's commandments, okay? Now continue on, please.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
Right, so you're cleansed by reading the word of God. Because the word, you know, our minds are not as bright as we think they are. Because our minds are only made out of the dirt of the ground. And that's why the Lord says to continuously pray, to hide the word in our hearts, so that, and continuously read. And the way of life is the reproof of the Word of God. So we have to reprove our minds and spirits and our soul every day to read the Word, so that we can be reminded of what God's commandments are. Now, there's not hardly, I don't know of anybody that's preaching this, all right? There's nobody preaching that. I mean, I watch these TV evangelists, and I hear of other evangelists saying that I'm unscriptural. Please, I always tell them, show me where I am unscriptural, and I'll eat the Bible. Okay, without salt and pepper or Worcestershire sauce on it, or any kind of accoutrement. So, no, I'm preaching the truth, folks. Just receive it. Okay, let's continue on.
That he might present it to himself a glorious church.
Right, it's got to be a glorious church. When the Lord Jesus was resurrected, he imparted his life into us, because he became the life-giving spirit, and he could not put himself into us if he was still a man. He had to become the Holy Spirit. He had to become the life-giving spirit, so that he could enter into many of us, and Jesus then would be in hundreds, thousands, or even millions of souls all over the world. And so that's why he had to go to the Father, so that he could send himself into us, the Comforter, and then he would teach us all things. The Bible doesn't teach us that if we go out to town today, that we're going to be killed. We have to be in the spirit. We have to be communicating with Jesus so that he can tell us, don't go downtown today, because if you do, you'll die. Okay, so that's why it's so important to have the Holy Spirit. And there are many other things. I've given an example. There's so many examples that I could give, but the most one of the most important ones was when the Lord told me to leave this apartment that I was living in Las Vegas, just leave. And there was a bunch of brothers there with me, and he said, you have to leave in 5 minutes or you'll be killed. And I says, in that case, I'm leaving in about 3 minutes, 2.5, 3 minutes. I said, everybody is gone. The Lord said 5 minutes, that I'm going to die and everyone in here. So just throw everything you have in the blanket on the bed there and throw it in the van and let's take off. And we took off, and just moments after that, these supposed to be FBI, which are nothing but international soldiers, came in, and one of the people didn't want to go. They just wanted to stay because I had the whole place was loaded with these expensive jackets that I manufacture. Most a lot of the big stars wear them, and so do a lot of wealthy people wear them. And they came rushing in, a SWAT team, and stuck a gun right down this man's throat. And he says, I'm not Tony Alomo. Everybody said he looks kind of like me. But I love the Holy Spirit. And why do I love him? Because he has saved my life many times. Another time, as the Lord told me, they're going to come. I don't live up on the ridge. We had a place, a lot of property up on Georgia Ridge, which is just up above Dyer, Arkansas. And the Lord told me to move off the property splinter the church up, put some in Chicago, put some in New York, put some in Los Angeles, out here in Dyer, Arkansas, up on Georgia Ridge, and so on. He says, because if you don't, they're going to kill every one of you. So I splintered the church up and opened one in Chicago and New York and all over the place, because they like to kill everybody off like they tried at Waco. And I was to be the first Waco, because this government is not the government of the United States of America. It happens to be the international government. And they're coming out of the closet. First they deny it, and first they make it look like they're obeying the U.S. Constitution. They only use the U.S. Constitution as a means to, when it serves their purpose. But now, when I did that, I splintered them, everyone up, and they didn't know where I was. And really, they wanted me, and they wanted every follower that distributes literature. That's why you got to walk in the Spirit. And what happened? Just a couple of months after that, they saw it was no good because we're everywhere and it'd be hard to kill all of us. You understand? So they went and killed the people at Waco. Now, some of the people, after I was railroaded into prison, they were saying, well, you're going to be Waco too. And I said, well, not if I, if the Lord can help it, he's going to warn me of what to do. Because I keep his commandments. I love the Holy Spirit. And I love getting direction from the Lord. For the love of God is the keeping of God's commandments. As this is the love of God. And the love of God says, love your wife. I mean, keep the commandments in your body so that everyone you're loving. Because you're the example to them. They may never see another example but you in this world. And so you have to have the love of God in you. If you just think you're going to try to be cool, or you're going to wear a baseball hat backwards because you're not intelligent enough to know which part of the hat is the front and which part of the hat is the back of the head. That's when I see those guys wearing those hats backwards, I figure, they're pretty stupid. They got the hat on wrong. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, and then what?
That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle.
Yeah,
or
that means not having any sin. That, so if you keep the commandments of the Lord, he's going to have a glorious church, not having any spot or wrinkle or what?
Or any such thing.
Or any sin whatsoever. There can't be a spot on your soul when you go out to meet God. You have to be white, pure, clean, you know, because you have to be the virgin of for the Lord. We are his bride, and we have to be have the love of God in us in order to be his bride. I mean, you people like to forget that because you don't read the scriptures enough to constantly be reminded of that. But read the book of Revelation, the last two chapters, and you'll see that we are the bride. They were clean and dressed in white linen, not any spot on us or blemish of sin. And that's why we have to have the love of God in us, so that we can maintain the Lord's commandments. Because if we don't keep his commandments, then there's no love of God in us. If we break one sin, if we commit one, break one commandment, we've broken them all. Amen?
Amen.
So we've got to get that into our spirit. Hide that in your heart. And continue to mark scriptures with stickies and whatever else that you can read those every day. Okay, continue on, please.
Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
Yeah. Holy, without any blemish whatsoever. White, clean, spotless, without wrinkle, no sin on our soul. Then we have prepared ourselves for heaven. And the terrible thing, you know, the thing, one thing that we don't know is when we're going to die. The Bible promises that we're going to die. Everyone is going to die. But it doesn't give us any indication that we're going to live one day from the next. That's why we're to be holy today, and one day at a time. And then really each day is to be a challenge. We have to say, okay, I'm waking up now, and this is a challenge today. The devil's going to try to make me sin. My wife might try to make me sin. My brother, my son, my daughter, they all might get me to try to get me to eat a piece of fruit, something that is delicious in this world, some kind of pleasant thing to do in this world, and yet we have to pay credence first to the Lord. We have to keep his commandments. Otherwise, no one's going to see the love in us. If we let somebody deteriorate us, if we deteriorate, if we become self-destructive, and we just go ahead and do whatever, go with the wind, go with whoever tells us that we got to eat the fruit, well, then we don't have any chance whatsoever. Okay, continue reading.
So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself.
The reason for that is, if you love your wife, that's a command from the Lord, then you love yourself. Because if you didn't do what the Lord said, then your soul is going to hell. Because that's a commandment. So when you love your wife, when you keep the commandments in front of her, that's the same as loving yourself as well. So that's really the way it really is. That's the proper interpretation of these scriptures. Then what?
For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth.
No, I mean, you know, there's people, he's talking about no man of God. Now there's people that are not considered men. They're flakes. And they hate their flesh. I mean, a lot of people commit suicide. But that's not a man of God. Man of God would never do that, because he knows that if he commits suicide, his soul is going straight into hell. How could anybody love not themselves? How could anybody hate themselves and do such a thing to themselves, because they definitely go into hell? Then what else?
For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church.
Right. See, your wife is your flesh. Bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. And so it's very, a lot of people just write, man, I don't like my wife, you know, she's a witch, she's this and that. Well, you got married to the wrong one, maybe, or else you are intolerant. But you have to continue on keeping the commandments. And to me, you just have to reprove and rebuke them, all right. But you have to let a lot of the things that they say or try to get you to do, you can't let it roll off your back like the water on the back of a duck. You have to stand toe to toe with her. You can't walk out the door and slam it. You've got to stay right there and get it straight with them. They may not like it. You know, you're always pestering, you know, you're always complaining. No, I'm not complaining. I have the love of God in me, and I'm just keeping his commandments. He said for me to love you. Now, shut up. Shut up. How's that love? Well, it's certainly not the love of the world, but it's the love of God. Okay?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Then what else?
For we are members of his body, of his flesh.
We, that means husband and wife, are members of his body, his body. Then what? Because there's no male or female in the body of Christ. There's no Greek or Jew. I mean, if we're in the body of Christ, we're all one. Uno. One. Okay? It's just one body. There's not a female body or a male body, but if we're in the body of Christ, we are one. He's the head and we're the body. Then what?
We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh.
Right, so you never hate your flesh, but you nourish it by letting your flesh see the Lord's love living in you by your keeping the commandments, and never weaken, because if you do, she'll weaken immediately. She'll fall away. You won't have her for a wife. She won't have any respect for you. She won't really love you. She won't keep the commandments for you, for the Lord, as the Lord commands. Okay, then what?
This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Right, so if you're one flesh, so is the body of Christ one flesh. Eve came out of Adam's flesh. He said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And Christ's bride, he's the last Adam and the second man. We come out of his body. He died so that we could become part of his body, so that we too could be resurrected with him eternally. And it does take, that's what the Bible means by deny yourself, the things that you might say, I'd love to break your face. Or you may say, I hate you. And you may hate the things that she does, but you've got to maintain the commandments of the Lord. Yeah, you hate the things that she does. If she's lusting at other men, you just warn her. You have to keep the commandments going. You can't slack off reading the Word of God for a month or more, or a week or more, or even a day or more, and expect to be filled with the love of God and with the power to keep his commandments. You will not have it, okay? Then what?
Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband.
All right, so when the Lord Jesus was resurrected, he put into us his life. His life into us. So resurrection is a big deal to the Lord. So that's the whole thing. That's Easter, what that's all about, the resurrection. When we believe in him, we receive his life. What does that mean when we believe in him? Well, I always used to think before I would say, believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I believe the name of Jesus. That isn't what it's about. Jesus, and I've said it many times, and it says it in the Word of God, is the Word of God. So believe on the entire Word of God, in other words, the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So, when we believe in him, the whole Word of God, we receive his life. You don't have his life if you don't believe his word. Because those that believe his word are saved, and those that doubt his word are damned. And being damned is forever. So it's very important for you to believe the word of God. And if you don't have the belief, well then pray to the Lord for faith. Pray, oh God, you got to give me more faith. I don't believe the word enough to consecrate myself to the point to where I'm seeking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not reading your word of God. Put fear on me. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. Okay? So that's what that's all about. So we receive his life. We all become God's sons, and as such, we all belong to God. Why? Because we have this life within us, even while we're men. We're men, but we have God's life in us. So we become God men and God women when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And when we can be entrusted by God to fulfill his purpose. How many people are fulfilling God's purpose today? God doesn't trust you to fulfill his purpose if you're not at all concerned about having God's love in you. For the love of God, again, is the keeping of his commandments. All right, now this is the time to receive the Lord. And to receive the Lord is very simple. When you receive him, you're going to have the power to keep his commandments. So this is an incredible thing I'm talking about. Say this to the Lord. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. You say, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I am calling on you, Lord, and therefore I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just praise and thank the Lord, and Sharon, tell the listening artists how they can receive, copy, an audio tape or a CD of this program number 500.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in again tomorrow for another powerful dose of the truth of the living God. And as I promised, here's Randy Travis to sing Little Town of Bethlehem.
Still we see thee lie
Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in the hopes and fears of all.